I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, a show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week with our spirit friends, we discuss a different topic of interest, and our hope is that through listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us, we can offer you further options and choices to mull over and investigate within your own mind. This week will be part two on the subject of spirit attachment. And if you'd like to phone in with a question to Spirit regarding our show, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is a worldwide free phone number, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And remember, it's not a reading, okay?
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 9 p.m. PST and Thursdays at the new time of 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 11 p.m. PST EST. And if you would like to know more about us, our books, or our CDs that are on sale, please go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and as usual, I'll be bringing through spirit guide Gregory Hay, who will be speaking to you and Sylvie. Gregory will borrow my body for the rest of the show, and I will not know of anything else that happens from then on. Gregory had an earth life 300 years ago and has come back to help us with the benefit of his education and development in the spirit world. But I'll let Sylvie tell you a little more about that because I have to go into trance now.
Okay, thanks, Mick.
That's it from me.
That's him.
That's me. Me in a nutshell.
Okay, well, Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group that consists of eminent scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people who have a valuable input to make regarding their life experiences. They've come to help us to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully to point us in a more positive direction by helping us to think beyond the constraints of our human minds. They don't follow any religious beliefs or political concepts, but believe in everyone's right to their own way of thinking and point of view, and want only to maybe make us more aware of our true identity and makeup. And once again, if you have a question to ask Gregory on the subject of spirit attachments, and don't forget this is part two of spirit attachments, just in case you've just joined us, please do phone in. The phone line is free phone, and it's 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. And I wonder if Gregory's here yet.
Hello, Faye.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello. With love and light, as always, dear Faith.
Thank you. So, tonight we're going to be doing part two of Spirit Attachment. And I think we probably need to just do a quick synopsis and recap of what we spoke about in part one.
Yes, Faith.
So that we can expand on that.
Quite so.
Okay, so basically, what are spirit attachments?
Spirit attachments are those negative energies from our side of life, generally, who have had some issues to deal with in their physical life when they lived and walked the earth, and that they have still brought about this negative energy which came from the cycle of physical life, which has kept them at a low vibration. This means that they are at a closer vibration to you on your side of life, and so they are more readily available to attach themselves. They do this because they want to, because they want to have something else to do with physical life, because they perhaps have an axe to grind, or perhaps they still have unfinished business. It may be, of course, do not forget, that many people in the spirit world still crave for certain advantages given to those in physical life. And what better way to do it than to attach oneself to a physical body and bring about harm?
Okay.
These are not necessarily always about harm, you must understand.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, situation of calamity. They are there to try to bring chaos into the life.
Because they thrive on that, because on the negativity that they cause?
Yes, absolutely so. Negativity begets negativity. They can only thrive and survive because of a negative instant. So it may well be, for example, that attachments may readily come to the aid of those who are grieving or who are perhaps thinking that they are sometimes communicating with a loved one when in actual fact they may be, but that underlying that loved one is a negative attachment who wishes to create some havoc within that physical life.
Okay. So how do they do this? How do they actually attach themselves to them, to this person?
Well, they do it actually in a number of ways. First of all, they will actually become a part of the person, of the physical person's aura. They will actually glide into the aura, unbeknownst perhaps to the human subject. Now, I understand that for many people they would shout foul and perhaps say, well, my doorkeeper is there and they will save me from this. But the point is that your doorkeeper is not responsible for you or your behavior. And sometimes, not every time, because I have to say that some attachments are not at the fault of the human subject. But sometimes it may well be that the attachment has become able to attach themselves to the physical host purely and simply because of negative actions or thoughts in the mind of the physical subject.
Okay, so they are actually attracted to the way that they think or the things they are thinking.
Yes, very often so. So you would have situations where people behave in extreme negative ways. Perhaps they are bullies. Perhaps they are violent. Perhaps they are violent in the home to their wives, spouses, or to their children. Perhaps it is to their parents that they are abusive. Or perhaps it is someone who has an abusive parent.
Okay. And I think last time we talked about the fact that mental institutions or psychiatric wards or something like that are usually good breeding grounds for them, unfortunately.
Yes, very fertile grounds for attachment to actually make themselves known to those poor innocents who are really surrounded by extreme negativity generally in that environment.
I mean, I'd like to tell everybody that this is actually something that we have a lot to do with, and would you say it was common?
It is getting more common, yes, absolutely. And this is not to say that just because you are dealing with it that you are of a lower vibration either. It actually takes extreme examples of ingenuity and understanding to overcome an attachment.
Mm.
You have to think outside of the box that is normal, that is everyday events of the mind that you would incur in any other situation. Attachments are to be dealt with very carefully, sympathetically, yes, as well, because negativity is something which has arisen because of a particular act. And no negativity would be there without that particular act to have come about in the first place. So instrumental in anyone being coerced, being sustainably attacked in this way by someone from the spirit world, would actually be that way if it were not for certain lapses of the mind, even just for a little while, and it may then have gone away, you see.
Mm.
It may be just that the person was slightly ill, or as I said before, perhaps they were grieving over a lost loved one, or something like that, of that nature.
Mm.
Then it means to say that actually during may only be that person was grieving for a few short days. Mm-hmm. It's all it takes. It's just a few short days, or maybe even, certainly in some situations, just a few hours if the person is particularly sensitive to being enslaved in that way.
Mm. Yes. And how would one be particularly sensitive in that way? What would they have to be like?
Well, for example, there are people who, on your side of life, have actually enrolled in becoming mediums, perhaps developing their gifts in some way, gifts of spirit, and yet underlying within that gift can sometimes be that they have a negative attachment.
Right.
In another way, it may be that the person is sensitive due to a very sheltered childhood, perhaps, not a person who is worldly, but someone who has been very closeted in their life experience. It isn't to say that these people are abnormally at risk, but that there is a tendency for that to be the case, for them to be more at risk than others. It may well be as well that you will have people who are very angry and who become violent with their anger, that they too will attract attachments to their aura and then actually to their physical state. So you can see at the beginning then this is actually a two-stage situation. First of all, in the first scenario, it is actually that the attachment may even present themselves as a loving spirit, a helper perhaps, and actually falsely bring themselves into the aura of the unwitting host in that way. And then in perhaps months or even in years' time, it may well be that that helper turns into being someone of extreme negativity. I understand that many people will perhaps be quite perplexed at this because they may think, well, I have been sitting for X number of years or whatever, or I sit in meditation every day for an hour or two or whatever it is, and I keep up this rigorous practice, and I am very ritualistic in my prayers or invocations at the beginning and at the end of every single sitting, so I cannot possibly have such a thing as an attachment. But you can. That is the point. Attachments are very devious and will, as I say, actually pretend to be, take the impassioned personality of someone who is otherwise on the surface a very desirable spirit helper or spirit friend, perhaps someone whom you are communicating with on a regular basis, and someone who perhaps is giving you great love and wisdom too, in fact. They can be most charming and most audacious in their attitude. They may actually be very coherent, have very strong language skills in their first initial intonements with you, in their first initial partying, as I say. Yes.
Yeah, so basically that somebody might think that they're getting communications from spirit, or they're being clairaudient and they're picking
yes.
up. Yes.
And oh, quite so, and of course they are.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And usually it only turns nasty when they get found out.
Yes.
Usually, or they get, maybe they tell the person to do something that they think is a bit dodgy, a bit iffy.
Yes, quite so.
A spirit guide wouldn't probably do.
Yes, quite so. This is, in fact, something which can sometimes happen to children, because don't forget that this is a situation which can affect both children and adults of any age whatsoever. It may be that a child actually has a spirit friend who then begins to tell the child what to do, what clothes to wear, how to act, what things to say. And that kind of thing, it may be that the child actually will not do anything after a while unless consulting the spirit. Some people, of course, think that this is rather charming. It isn't. It is actually very often that in these situations, children can actually be unwittingly duped into being.
Now, we have a caller on
line. Of response, you see.
Okay.
Okay, well, it's a pleasure to have you aboard again tonight. We have a caller on the line. I'll put him through.
Thank you, Stu.
Hello, friends at BBS Radio. This is John. Gregory, I just have a question.
Yes, Ben.
Were there aliens that were on this planet for thousands of years that liked to attach themselves to people, and then they became extinct in about 1978? But supposedly they worked closely with the Nazis in World War II. Was there such a being of aliens?
Well, I do understand that there have been situations where people from other races, from other planets, have actually had a great deal of interference with people of human descent. And notwithstanding, it may well be that there are many hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals on your side of life who have alien interference of an undesirable kind. Those who are perhaps being abused in their beds, those who may be abducted in some way and abused elsewhere. It may well be that at times there are alien spirits who actually bring their abduction to a very physical level, and their abuse becomes almost life-threatening in that way. So, yes, it will also be perhaps that some will infiltrate human beings to such an extent that they will take other physical life. It is not uncommon. In fact, as I understand it, there have been many people who were actually trained in the guise of being spirit mediums, even perhaps being bestowed certain gifts to one another in the whole response that they would eventually succumb to this alien presence. Something is amiss, surely, when you have to have someone from another race who actually infiltrates you in that way with the promises of gifts on the one hand, and then taking away their mortality and their conscious mind with the other.
And that was the same situation. It can be the same situation where it's okay when it's going okay.
Yes, quite so.
Until you decide to start
having your own life.
Yes,
perhaps.
Having your own life and questioning what they're telling you to do.
Yes, and then it can actually be quite alarming.
Mm-hmm.
But we know of many souls, in fact, who have had this happen to them, and that the alien has then actually been physically abusive or attacking toward the subject's child or children or home life or relationship with other human beings, you see.
Any more, John?
Does the alien or this attachment creature, what does it gain by attaching?
I did not understand what you said.
No, I can't hear you, John. Can you speak up?
Why is it in the interest of these creatures to attach onto humans and to drain the life out of them?
Well, it is a matter of control, my friend, purely and simply. It is a matter of control for other purposes other than good deeds, other than benevolence. It is most malevolent and most dangerous, and that people should really be quite well aware of what it is that they're actually letting themselves in for before they sign on the dotted line and give away their life.
May I ask, are pets ever, do spirits ever attach to pets?
Sorry?
Do spirits ever attach onto pets, animals?
Do they ever attack?
Animals?
Mm-hmm. Aliens, or attachments or spirits?
Well, I have to say that sometimes, my friend, they do. Sometimes you may have a situation where a particular pet has been actually infiltrated by extreme negativity in some way. It may, of course, be the spirits of some other beings other than human who have actually undergone, had taken place in their lives some extreme negative event, in which case, of course, it may well be that they actually become very listless and soulful. They may go completely off their food for days, if not even weeks at times. And it can be very, very difficult to reassociate the animal with well-being. It usually means that the animal has to be smudged in some way, using the native way of clearing of the auric field of any being, be that an animal or be it a human being. Usually that is done using sage or something like that, or it may be sweet grass, depending on what is happening. Actually, sweet grass is usually meant for healing afterwards.
Okay, John?
It is usually accompanied as well with an invocation and prayer, usually something to do with great holy being or creator or whatever. And you would actually say and intone this prayer, usually in a very ritualistic way. I hope that has helped.
Yes, it does. Thank you. Can I just ask, can the image of these creatures be captured? Will we ever see what they look like?
Can we capture them? Will we ever see what they look like?
Well, that is very difficult to say because, after all, for the most part, they are etheric. They are not necessarily physical. They may actually turn themselves, materialize into physical beings at their will, but not at yours or not at anyone's demand. So this really is an indication, perhaps, at what the source is. That's not to say that any spirit who does not materialize upon the demand of some human being is a negative alien spirit or a negative spirit in any event from any quarter of the universe. It doesn't mean to say that at all. It is just that it happens to be that way if there is extreme negativity on the part of the spirit provider, it will usually come from the fact that they have a negative agenda within themselves, and it is doubtful that you would actually see them. You may see a residue of them. You may catch just a glimpse of them out of the corner of your eye or something like that. It is actually can be that they present themselves in this guise of being very gentle and loving on the surface, and may even present themselves to you within your psychic eye, within your third and inner ability to comprehend such things as visions or whatever it is. You see, they usually come actually for human beings with bringing the consent or the gift of clairvoyance or clairaudience, some special gift that will enable the human being to enhance their lives and therefore, as it were, be the instrument of that spirit.
Or healing or something like that.
Oh, well, yes, quite so. And it can actually be quite a powerful situation. However, as I understand and I have observed on many occasions, it is only a matter of time before these beings will actually have their own way. It is a ticking bomb. Thank you so.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I'd like to say thank you for John for that call, and if anybody else would like to speak to Gregory and ask him a question about spirit attachments, You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, and he's being deep trance channeled by Mick Avery. If you'd like to join us with a question, it's 877-876-5227. Okay. We've heard a lot recently as well, something else that can happen, which is very worrying, is that people can think that it's their loved ones that are drawing close to them and touching them, and it
yes.
can get quite physical
yes.
In a loving way, as it were.
A reenactment of their physical life,
absolutely.
In fact.
It can be very sexual.
Absolutely.
And then it turns out to be not their loved ones, their husband, partner, wife, whatever.
Yes.
Who's just passed.
Yes.
That
and what,
seems to be getting very common.
Yes, friend. And what they were actually doing was that they were using the subject's own cellular memory of their loved one, their departed loved one, and actually wearing it as a mask.
That takes some understanding, doesn't it?
Well, it is actually quite simple because of the fact that they have attached themselves to the person's aura, and then by that time, because there has been this love, this relationship has been established with them, they would actually have used the person's mind, thought, memory to manipulate and occupy the thought transfer parameter of a human being from, so that the human being would actually be thinking of their loved one, their wife or whatever, and would actually be going through this whole scenario of the way their relationship had been. I just paint this as a typical case,
mm-hmm.
as an example,
yeah.
and they would just really be occupying this space. The human subject would be sending out these thoughts to do with the relationship, with what he went through, perhaps, to do with his wife, etc., and that kind of thing. And then it would become that, in fact, all of this information will then be a party to the spirit attachment, who then brings about, actually uses this memory, because it is of cellular structure, it is a part of the cells of the human being. And also, of course, it is actually coupled with many different images of that person. These images are, because thoughts are living things, transferred to the spirit attachment, who is in very close proximity to the subject. This means that they can actually use this image identity and enhance themselves and shape to that image.
Right.
This is exactly how they do it. And then what they do is they, because of the fact that attachments always apply themselves in the same way, that is, they come through the third and fifth vertebrae of the thorax. Usually, it is very often slightly lower, but it appears to feel as though it is lower. The way in for this is that the attachment then actually sends thought tentacles from themselves in through the spine, through the spinal column, and into the brain, directly into the brain. And there they have it. They have them. These attachments then appear as small red rods within the brain itself. And sometimes it may be that the human subject will feel these rods
as
a way of some kind of an alarming situation. These may actually become painful, particularly in the contact of healing or something like that. If that is going about at that time, it may well be that these exhibit extreme pain and agony for the subject, for the human subject. This is because these are the first points of contact. As soon as that is made and established, there will be other thoughts and feelings sent from the spirit attachment into the physical host, and actually which will control their motor neuron system, their will actually quite possibly be different exhibits of sensations that the person will feel about their physical state, usually in genital areas. That this is then mimicking the relationship that the person had, you see.
Well, and the relationship they didn't have, because it...
Well, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Quite so. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and now we come to the point that sometimes these attachments will actually become so extremely negative that they will actually thrive from the negativity and the fear they induce in the physical subject, in the host. This will only feed them more. And it can even come about that the spirit briefly manifests materialization and attacks the physical host in a very sexual and alarming way.
Yeah.
I am saying all of this to really underline the whole cause and event of what people feel and what really happens if you allow your mind to wander, if you allow the whole thought process to become preoccupied in the disentangled state of what minds can be at the point when someone, when a loved one passes, and just really what can happen as a result of it.
Yes. This is very common as well, and we talked about this in the last one, I know, but we will go through it again because it's very important. With people going to graveyards.
Yes, quite so.
The classic EVP thing, and, well, it's just asking for trouble, really.
Absolutely so. There have been many, many dealings that we have had, actually, to do with beings who have done this and have actually ended up bringing back with them spirit attachments from those kinds of places. And that they have actually done this and then wondered why their house became hot, as it were. The reason why the house becomes hot is because the spirit now has a new home, a new place to vandalize, a new place to actually create further negativity and thrive upon that negativity in the extreme event.
Yes, we used to, when we first started doing this, we used to try and avoid this subject quite as much as we could, really, because we didn't want to frighten people, did we? But now it's getting so ridiculously out of hand. We just seem to be dealing with it every day.
Yes,
and
quite so.
We actually can't keep up with it. So we need to. We decided we needed to educate people. You know, it's like, well, I'm afraid you've got to hear it, really, and I hope you believe us. And
yes, unfortunately, it is nothing like it is said in books. You cannot heal attachments by sending the light of angels, asking Angel Michael or Angel anyone else to come and relieve the physical person of the spirit attachment. It doesn't work. It is rubbish. It actually simply does not work. Spirit attachments are only resolved by very, very careful therapy and underlying healing and manipulation of the way in which the spirit has become trapping to the physical host. It actually means that you have to unwind in the exact same way as the spirit has made themselves become involved in the physical host to begin with.
And it is different for each one, slightly different for each one, because
yes,
there's so many different situations to take into account, isn't
yes,
there?
You quite
know, like
so.
The length of time and the veracity of the nature of the particular attachment and that sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely. So it all depends entirely upon the nature and character of the spirit attachment to begin with, and as you say, how long has elapsed before the host seeks help. And of course, this can actually be most disconcerting for the host themselves, because they cannot actually confront the situation. It may be that they are having this difficulty when actually continuing a relationship in the physical state.
Yes.
And that there unbeknownst to the partner, whether it be male or female, whether it be that the couple are homosexual or whether they are heterosexual. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever. The subject orientation or their gender or the way that they think has no bearing upon the state of mind of the spirit who attaches to them. And it is actually quite a fallacy that some people come up with, that perhaps, they may say, they had gay tendencies or whatever, and so they had an attachment who actually did awful things to them in that area.
Yes. Well, we had one the other day, didn't we? The excuse that somebody gave to this poor chap who was having problems, that it was their discarnate baby that was aborted.
Yes,
that would come
quite
back
so.
To do things, homosexual things to him while he was in bed. I mean, that's just outrageous.
Yes, and I believe that person actually charged them for it.
Good grief. Oh, yes, yes. Well,
charged them an amount of money for giving such lies.
Mm. Yeah. Another one
it just really,
their father.
Yes, quite so.
Doing it to them.
Yes, absolutely. It just really goes to show how incredibly ignorant some people who profess to have spirit guidance and knowledge, when truly and simply they should have put their hands up and said, I'm sorry, I am out of my depth. I don't really know what to do with this, because you are actually facing a very difficult situation if it is a real physical attachment. It is most alarming and frightening for the host to actually have the bed sheets moved, to actually have furniture moved, to have them propelled from one side of the room to the other, perhaps, whilst actually being abused.
Mm. Yes, and actually have to have medical treatment because they've been damaged inside.
Absolutely so, yes, quite.
So, let's talk about what do we do about this? I mean, where do we start to tell people how to... for a start, protect themselves. Where
protection,
do they go?
Protection is the greatest aspect that any one single person may have for themselves. If it is that you have a mind and are able to construct visual instances for yourself, and I mean on a realistic level, I mean actually, that you can actually focus and see and construct a tree or something like that, or have a vision and actually apply your mind and your thought transfer process to produce that vision. If you are able to do that, then you are already some way ahead of having an ability to resolve this issue. However, it may well be, as for many people, they do not have this gift. They do not have this part of themselves awakened. And so, for these, they will have to start at the very beginning in order to make this happen. The first thing that you would have to do in this state is try to begin this on a good, clear day. Try to begin it on a day that it has sunshine outside. What you would have to do is you would have to take a mirror, a small mirror, usually a hand mirror, but something which is larger than that, something which is...
around about 6 to 7 or 8 inches.
Square or oblong.
Yeah.
Yes, and preferably with a handle to it. You don't want to be fiddling about with a plate of glass.
No.
So it is preferably one which has been manufactured on your side of life. And what you would do is this. You would stand in your bathroom and you would use the mirror that may be in front of you, and you would also use the mirror that you have, the hand mirror, and that you will, first of all, follow the mirror, turning it very slowly and very slightly every few moment, and you will register with your eyes the vision that you have as you pass the mirror, observing yourself. The mirror will just really reflect your own surface. It is best, actually, to do this when you are naked, when you have no clothes on, to begin with. This is so that you can actually do it and that you can observe what other people see outside of you. So what you are doing, you are mirroring your own physical state, and you will have to do every single inch of your physical state from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. And gradually this will form as an image in your mind. It may take you weeks to accomplish this. Do not try to rush it. Do not try to think that this is something that you have to bring about in a matter of moments. It will never do. You need to be very methodical about how you apply it and how you bring it about for yourself. And what you will do is you will gradually pass it around and around your physical body. You will observe the things that you see. Your skin, perhaps what hair you have growing in that particular region or whatever, the infections of your skin, the various different pigment indentations, or whatever it is, whatever things, sequences of events you bring into your mind are a part of your, going to be a part of your mind memory that you will use to form a crystal mirror, which then encompasses your whole being. It may be that this is something that you just simply cannot achieve. We will have to talk about that later. For now, we are being positive, and we are looking at ways in which you may actually further repeat this experience. Obviously, perhaps it will be that you will need to say regular invocations or prayers asking for healing, not just in an absent-minded way, but actually it coupled with this state of revealing the mirror source image of your own physical identity.
Why mirrors?
The whole point that what you are trying to achieve here is that you are trying to achieve a mirror image of yourself to better protect yourself. Once you have fully enclosed yourself in this mirror, then you will then be able, with help from others who may be of who have healing gifts, you may then actually have help from them to, once you have formed the mirror completely around your physical state, it will then become activated.
So you can call it
out. Yes, as a protective layer that you can call upon to actually give you aid and assistance to protect you. It may be, of course, that you want to use this mirror in the first instance to try to resolve the matter of the attachment and whereabouts it may be attached to. As I say, the matter of between the third and fifth vertebrae of the thorax are a prime example. But perhaps if you are being abused, then you will have to concentrate on that area as well. Perhaps it is that you are having pains inflicted in your feet, that you will have to apply it to that area.
Why don't they like mirrors?
And they do not like mirrors, because when you have finally constructed it and actually bring it about to be self-reflective, you are then sending the attachment's reflection back to them, not just their energy, but their reflection. And it is their visual reflection that they cannot abide.
Right.
And that really is the secret.
so they wouldn't penetrate that.
Well, I am saying that it will be something that they will just hate. They will simply hate it. They will try to knock the mirror out of your hand. They may physically succeed. If they do, you must simply go and get another one and do it all again.
It sounds like it might take some practice. So basically,
absolutely, yes.
Be prepared to do this morning, noon, and night, and whenever you get the chance.
Yes, quite so. It is a matter of diligence that you have to bring this about yourself. This is actually whether you are in concert with working with a healing group or whatever to give you ease of your suffering as well. This is something that you have to do alongside of it and actually should actually be recommended by the healing group when first contact is made to do with any form of real attachment. And as I'm saying this, real attachment, not something that you can do by calling in the light, by banishing it to the denizens of the dark, by bringing or inciting angels to come and do with it away. It will simply not work. This is the only simple and sure method of beginning the retraction of a spirit attachment.
And it is only the beginning, folks, because it can take a long time.
Now, we have a caller online.
The long haul. Okay.
All right, I'll put him on.
Hello, this is Juliet.
Hello, Julia.
How are you?
I am very well, thank you. Never better.
Oh, good. Good for you. Actually, I'm the host of the show that was on just before, but I've got a really relevant question to this. I have got a client in Sweden who has been possessed, as it were, for, if my memory serves me correctly, a couple of years.
Yes.
And he's unfortunately been blaming it on his interest in paranormal and dowsing and all of that sort of thing. And
I understand, yes.
And unfortunately, now he's back in hospital again. He keeps going in and out of hospital. And he's been trying to get help to get rid of his possession, and so far to no avail. Have you got any suggestions of what, you know, I or some of us could do to help this person?
Yes, absolutely. But my dear friend, it actually is a matter of, it would have to go into therapy to do this. And this really is a state of what we will do is, normally we would liaise with the healing group or whoever it is who wishes to help an individual. And we can do it, of course. It really means that we have to make contact with the spirit attachment themselves, identify them, their source, and who they are, their life story, why they are there, and everything to do with them.
And I don't think that's going to happen quite rightly in some kind of mental institution.
Yes, I understand this. Many of them are. They are confined to mental institutions, my dear, simply because medical science does not understand the possibility even of real physical attachments becoming involved in physical beings.
That's what I was thinking too, and I'm wondering if there's anything that I could do to help. Now, I've been, you know, sending Reiki, and like yourselves, I'm a medium as well. But this poor lad has just been struggling so much, and I know that all of this that you've been talking about is so relevant, so I wanted to address this and see, you know, for those of us who want to help these poor individuals who are struggling like this.
Yes, quite so, my friend. Well, as I say, so this really is a matter of bringing about a course of relief. It will actually usually be to also develop this with some other beings. You would need, for instance, to actually rid someone of that kind of attachment, a physical attachment in that way, you actually need at least 5 individuals, including yourself.
Now, do you think that this could be done partly by long distance? Because obviously I'm not in Sweden right now.
No, I understand that. The best thing to do, my friend, is actually to try to find a group who can work under direction.
Okay.
This is usually the best stance to take. It is how we are able to actually work with different groups in different countries. Yes.
And now, would the mirror process that you were talking about, when he's not being so, you know, flailing about under this attack, sometimes he's very logical and in
yes.
his right mind, could he do that mirror process? Would that help to drive it away or not?
Absolutely. It will help in the beginning, my friend. The point is the mirror process is something which is very physical on your side of life and actually helps to prepare the person mentally to form this adjustment in their minds. It is as though they are actually physically building a barrier between themselves and the abuser in the spirit world. And this is a very constructive and positive way forward. So we would suggest, my dear friend, that you actually bring this as a suggestion in these lucid moments, as you suggest. It is quite right that, and I understand that some people become actually quite schizophrenic over this whole situation. They actually may even move into
taking their life.
As in ways of fits and that kind of thing.
Like convulsions.
And convulsions and that kind of thing through such an attack.
The thing
he
is,
actually does get
and with this
convulsion.
Situation, is that basically that we liaise with the mediums that are doing the healing, because obviously you can't talk directly to the people even when they are coherent and not, you know, that ill of the mind.
Yes, quite
because
so.
Obviously... We don't want the attachment to know what we're doing.
Yes.
And to know the source, you understand?
Yes.
And so it actually has to be usually that whoever is within the group of healers, it will be that you will have one person who is leading it, who is the principal healer, you understand?
Yes.
And then you would have four other people who would be at certain identifying points. These points will change, and the form of energy they will give will also be completely different depending upon what is going on with the attachment and at what stage of separation the attachment is at. So each day, each sequence of events will unfold a different sequence of events. You understand, Faye?
Yes. So would it be better actually if it were people in... you know, in his locale instead
yes.
of somebody like me who's far away.
Yes, quite so. The best thing, my dear friend, that you can do is to actually try to make contact with people in the locality itself and strike up a relationship with them and actually present this as a way forward. It may be, of course, that for many healing groups, although they may mean well, they actually cannot understand fully the real extent of real spirit attachment as it means physically to a human being.
Indeed, and there's quite a bit of that going on, and a lot of people are just not aware of it.
Yes, so... the point is, my friend, is that there are so many healers who just simply are unaware of how to deal with it. And it is quite simply understood because of the fact that perhaps the organizations they belong to do not actually cover such a thing, because it is so alien to anyone's normal sensibilities.
Well, you people are so dear. I bless you and appreciate you so much for bringing this subject up, because people really do need to learn about it.
I thank you so much, and we are aware of the need, my friend. That is why we are doing it.
Well, thank you, and blessings to you both.
Thank you, Julia. Nice to speak to you at last.
And nice to speak to you. Cheerio.
God bless, my friend.
Bye-bye.
That's good. Okay, so then.
I do hope that is helpful.
I'm sure.
I would actually also add, my friend, that they should perhaps get in touch.
Yes.
There should be some correspondence.
Yes, they can get in touch.
Backward and forward,
absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then you can see what's going on,
yes,
maybe.
Quite so, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, that would be brilliant. I'm sure that will help. So we've got the mirrors for protection, and that is something that is sort of like homework that we ask people to
yes.
do, isn't it?
If a person is really wanting to get rid of a spirit attachment in this physical way, they must be prepared to do homework
yes.
and be very diligent about it. It isn't, of course, that they will have questions fired at them on their progress not in such a caustic way, but of course they will be asked as to how their validity is coming on. Because progress is important. If there are any difficulties for the subject in that they possibly cannot comprehend certain aspects of the work, it may be that they are having difficulty actually bringing the focus of the mind to bear upon that form of interpretation. It is quite different, after all. It is a little as though you are looking at a jigsaw puzzle from the inside out, after all.
Yes, and very often they once they start feeling the benefit of it, they tend to can sometimes sort of lapse a bit. And then
yes, and fall
it comes
away.
Back, it comes back then.
Yes, quite so. Point is that you have to be most diligent about this and actually continue the process. I understand this may be difficult, of course, with human beings who are ill at that time and who are giving off various displays of illness, of symptoms, of different illnesses, perhaps not even attached to a part of the attachment at all, but actually are actually just physical distresses brought about in some other way.
Yes. So what's one some of the other things that they can do? What about the smudging?
Yes, my friend, of course. This is most important as well. And actually, it is a part of the blessing stance that the healing group would take with anyone who comes in with an attachment, that they should actually be smudged first before they enter into the situation. Now, this is very often done within the circle. So a circle, as I say, will be formed by four people, with the fifth person, who is the healer, actually being the instrument of the healing, the main instrument of the healing. It may well be then that the healer themselves will actually bring about the smudging, and this will be something that the person will also have to learn to do for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they would take a stick of sage or a bundle and set fire to it at one end, of course, have with them a metal container or something like that, because it usually drops some burning embers. You don't want to set the place alight. And you would then instruct them, actually show them how to, first of all, start at the nape of the neck, wafting the smoke and the essence from the sage onto the face and around the ears, both sides, around over the head, and then gradually working over and around the body, starting at the very top of the crown of the head and gradually working down in a clockwise direction. That is, clockwise, as if you were standing looking down at the person's head.
You go round your head.
Yes.
Round your head.
Round and round your head, and then gradually further and further down, spiraling down around the body, passing the sage, the burning sage, around the physical body, saying an invocation. And whatever that invocation may be, it is usually to do with, oh, dear one, God, creator, etc., etc. It will begin that way. Please bless me, keep me, cleanse me, protect me at this time for this healing that I am to have. And go on with that kind of intonation so that the person is connecting with God and actually revealing the desires of self to be cleansed and to be blessed within this healing group. It will then, of course, end with the spiral of the sage stick moving around the feet, and perhaps if it is the feet that are infected as well, then each foot would be lifted up in turn and the smudge stick brought underneath the foot as well, so that the smoke passes underneath it, you see.
So you cover the
whole
body.
So that you cover the entire physical state. And that this would be, of course, at first administered by the healer themselves. And this healer would perhaps intone this message for this subject. merely as a way of guidance, you see, and then would instruct them afterwards, well, this, remember this prayer or something similar to it, and this is what you will have to do for yourself.
Maybe on a daily basis.
Yes, quite so. Now, it will then be that the spiral will continue in reverse, and but that the same direction is maintained. It will still be in a clockwise direction,
around
but
the body.
That the spiral will be up the body instead and will finish once again at the crown of the head, citing at the same time the same prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So you would say the prayer during this cycle of cleansing, you would say the prayer at least twice,
mm-hmm.
once on the way down and once on the way back up to the crown of the head.
Mm-hmm.
This then has been the completion of that actual part of the, not ritual, but of part of the practice.
Mm. And smudging the home as well.
Absolutely so. This is something else that the medium will have to be brought in to do, will be actually to smudge the home. And the way that you would do this is actually in the opposite direction. You would do this in an anti-clockwise direction, always. It is never, ever clockwise in a house or a building. It is always anti-clockwise because what you are doing is you are removing the energy from the walls. You may have to do this a number of times. What you would actually do is you would go into the door of a room and you would start at the first corner and you would walk around the corner saying an invocation, whatever that happens to be for that particular place, and citing whatever energies it is that you are asking to be removed or to go their way. It will then be that upon completion of that room, you would walk along the walls, along the as close to the perimeter of the walls as you can. Once again, walking into another room and then doing the same thing again, repeating the process until you have covered the entire dwelling.
As long as you're anti-clockwise.
As long as you are anti-clockwise.
You cover everything. And if you can't reach corners, you touch the walls.
And if you cannot reach corners, you would touch the walls with your hands. So at places where there is perhaps a wardrobe or chest of drawers that cuts across the corner, you would actually have to put your hands all the way into the corner from both sides, from both angles, so that you actually cover that corner. So there is nowhere for this spirit attachment's energies to hide. And then once this is completed, it will be that you will bless the doorway and that you will ask again an invocation, usually the same invocation as you have been using within the dwelling place. You will use this in order to cleanse the house thoroughly. It may be that probably most definitely one sitting will not be enough. One visit will certainly not be enough. There will have to be many visits, quite possibly, particularly if the spirit attachment is very strong.
Yes. Other homework for the victim, shall we say. Careful of your thoughts.
Be most careful of your thoughts. Those reasons for why the attachment has come there in the first place are because of thoughts. Not that because of thoughts that you wanted to bring them there, but just errant thoughts. Thoughts of disagreement, thoughts of anger, thoughts of
regret.
Discouragement and regret. Regret is a very large one, really, and attracts a great many dissident spirits.
And to remember that the attachment actually gains its strength from these negative thoughts that you have and feelings that
yes.
you have. So, you know, it's difficult to be positive in this situation, but the more positive you are, the weaker the attachment is.
Yes, absolutely so. You have to think yourself positive.
Yes.
You have to understand that you are going to come out of this situation because it is the only thing you can do.
Mm.
You cannot stay within it. because simply it can take your life.
Absolutely. What about the healing ring of light?
That too, of course. Yes, as we had previously outlined. This, of course, is something which can be done sitting on a seat in your home. You would usually use a straight-backed chair or something like that.
Can I just say that you can find this healing ring of light in our book, Spirit Walks with Gregory, that you can get from Amazon, by the way. So anyway, you carry on though, Gregory.
Yes, quite so. Thank you. It will be that you will need to use 4 candles in this healing ring of light. Be careful to set the candles usually on a saucer or something like that if you're using the small tea light variety, or if you are using extended candles of any kind, make sure that you are using good, strong, stout candle holders to hold them to prevent any mishaps or damage. You would set these at certain places around you. You only need 4, but if you are using holders of any kind, they need to be identical, so you will need 4 identical holders. They can be actually metal or wood. It doesn't really matter. Or they can be ceramic, of course. That is not the point. The point is, so long as they are all identical, because then they will have the same height, the same identity, and really, it will not matter then where you put place one as opposed to the other. You would set these around the chair you are to sit in, and then you would sit upon the chair and say an invocation, a prayer, asking for the highest and best, of course, and for absolute preservation of your faculties, and that you will be well loved, and that you will be given help with your healing thoughts, and the thoughts of your day should actually be swept aside at this time. You should have been trying already to allow your thoughts to lapse. So try not to watch any television. Try not to actually have conversation with anyone prior to going into the healing ring of light. Otherwise, it simply won't work and you'll be wasting your time. And spirit's time, of course, which is most precious.
And this is a time, chance when spirit, your higher spirit guides can come and get close and give you healing.
Yes, of course.
So what happens to the attachment at those times?
Well, because of the fact that you are bringing in the healing ring of light at this time and you are saying these most specific words, that it will be that they actually will not enter into that place whilst you are there, because you will be protected. It is usually, you see, you must understand that many people feel that just because they have a spirit guide, doorkeeper, or whomsoever it is, that they will be protected by all things from all things. This is not the case. It isn't that the spirit guide is duping you. It is just that you have a different view of what the spirit guide can actually do and how this kind of interference can be prevented. It is usually through ignorance or lack of understanding, lack of education in this way.
Yes. Very innocently, most of the time.
Of course, yes. And also I have to say that you cannot bring in the faith-based situation of demonologists or whatever, from whatever religious understanding. You cannot throw a Bible at it or any other good book. You may try to do that, and I am aware of many, many, countless hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of priests and different preachers of this and that faith who have tried to rid attachments or demons, as they call them, from different people. They will throw books at them. They will even hit them on the forehead, on their third eye. They may try to scribe the cross upon their foreheads and say that they are saved. They are not.
Unfortunately, the our methods, they work, but they do take... You have to do do a lot of work as well. You know, if you're the one with the attachment, it is a lot of work for you. And but very often, many people are just, they can't work anyway because they have just been taken down so low with this attachment situation that, to be quite honest, doing the mirror situation and the healing ring of light and smudging yourself every day is sometimes just about all you can cope with anyway.
Yes, quite so, between eating and sleeping.
Absolutely.
Yes, and in the first state of this actual activity, it may be that until the person gets used to bringing about the mirror images, until they get used to actually the whole event of what they have to do, and actually doing it regularly enough, it will be that they will lapse probably from day to day. Mm-hmm. It will be that sometimes they will forget it in the morning or not be bothered. Perhaps they'll go and do something else or get distracted by life's interpretation or life's demands upon them.
Yeah.
This is a very necessary thing, and really, well and truly, if you are to get rid of this attachment, the only way that you will do it is through this method. And it brings great cooperation of human beings, one to another, to actually help someone who is suffering in this way. It is very demanding. The people who are involved in the relief of this individual have to be very careful themselves of their own thoughts, have to be very mindful and practiced of how to issue energy from themselves, their solar plexus, calling in their spirit guides and helpers, yes, but also the bulk of the energy is actually coming from the solar plexus of all of the people involved in this.
And they have to have good mind control.
And they have to have excellent mind control in order to counteract the very offensive and often abusive remarks and even physical touches that the attachment will make upon the subject and the healers possibly involved in the healing group. So this is not something for the faint-hearted.
No, it's not. And it's good also if they do the mirrors and smudge themselves as well.
Absolutely. It is something that healers should be mindful of and bring about in their own context of living. Please do not say that you are above this. You are not. If you say you are above it, then you really do not understand the full meaning of what attachments really are and what they can do. Yes.
Okay, well, hopefully we've covered a lot of things, and like I say, we don't want to scare people, but we also want to inform people and let people know that you know, what can happen. And like the lady that phoned up, Julia, we actually, probably everybody knows somebody with one.
Yes, absolutely. They are that common to one degree or another.
Mm.
I do have to just say that during the healing circle that I was talking about, not the healing ring of light, but the actual circle where you involve five people,
yes,
it will be that they will be sending energy in different directions when directed.
Yes.
And it is usual that they will have to be directed by someone who is a trance medium or through a very good spirit communication process. Usually, I'm saying, it would normally be through a trance medium, a genuine one, not one who is illuminated speaking or something like that, but
no,
actually someone who is completely unconscious and who is in free will giving themselves to the spirit world at that time, because there has to be absolute contact with the spirit attachment by those of the spirit team who work with them. And they will have to identify the source primarily and actually research the whole reason for their life change and why they have brought this about. Because part of the therapy is to do with unraveling that thought process and that life to bring about resolution for that life. That is why being rid of a spirit attachment takes quite a long time, or can do. This is not a quick fix. It can take a year or more
yes.
to rid a spirit attachment. in a physical way like this.
And it's probably best to continue practicing the mirrors for forever.
Some time afterwards.
Forever,
yes.
Really.
Well, yes, quite so.
You know,
particularly.
You never know. You never know. You don't realize yourself slumping into some sort of depression or,
yes,
or situation where you are vulnerable. That's the problem.
Yes, and the mind control is so all-consuming and necessary, for this resolution to take place and well-being upon your hearts, everyone.
Well, thank you, Gregory.
With love and light, as always.
God bless.
God bless, my dear friends. Sleep well.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. And I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more information about us and our work and our books, as well as Spirit's work on BBS Radio on Mondays and Thursdays. We have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistverse.com on Tuesdays. And thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for your calls. My name is Sylvie Avery. You've been listening to Spirit's work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world.